What's up, everyone? It's Week or Gavin.
Must be in a good mood. What the heck? It's Marcus or Pink.
Wait, now you did the... All right, it's Haz or Matt?
And it's Max or Max. And I'm joined here by my lovely assistant, Paul the Cat.
Max and Paul, I love it. Welcome, Max. It's been a minute since you've been on the show. How you been, buddy?
Not bad. Hope you guys are doing well, too. I haven't seen all of you except Gavin in a while. So, hope you're hanging in there.
Big chilling, man. Big chilling. Been a good week of Smash. Sorry, we were AFK last weekend. Gavin did upload. We had Marcus had bronchitis. Let me just go down the list. Marcus had bronchitis. Charles was in SoCal doing shots with Void. And Gavin, your internet went out. So I was the only one who was available for the show. We tried to make it happen. We couldn't. Sorry about that. We tried to do it again on Thursday. Couldn't make it happen. Took a week off. We're going to cover Luminosity Invitational this weekend. Plus Wavelength, which I went to, which was a fantastic event for Smash Ultimate. And Melee, too. Actually, Melee was popping off, which was super sick. And then there was DreamHack Atlanta, which I have not watched the VODs from yet. But I'm very excited, too, because Vendetta had a great tournament. Almost won the whole damn thing, getting a set win on Mudace. Maybe two set wins on Mudace, actually. I can't remember, but always good to see some good Ken play. But either way, what's up, Gav? How you doing?
Good. Preparing for Cirque and Let's Make Moves Miami. So lots of Florida in my life the last few tournaments, generally. Yeah, I've been streaming a lot. You know who's been streaming a lot too? B's been streaming a lot as well. We've been on our stream grind. Trying to stay on top of it, all that stuff. Glad to be back. I also did just upload some VOD review to the Patreon, starting to upload some VODs from Luminosity. It was a me versus Mars for anyone who's interested in that one. I've also looked at
Gav closer to the mic.
Sorry.
He's got a new filter chat. He keeps cutting out.
I'm just gonna move it closer. So I also looked at what were the other ones? Me versus Oshimo from Supernova. Me versus Sonics from Supernova, stuff like that. Yeah, if anyone's interested, on top of the normal Patreon stuff we do, I've also been doing VOD reviews. So, am I cutting out still?
Less. Sounds good to me. Yeah, it sounds better.
Okay.
LG.
How you doing? Haz.
Oh, shit. I was like, oh. Me? I'm good, man. I had a great time at Wavelength. Obviously, very happy with the results of the tournament, period. I'm excited to talk about the event itself a whole bunch. It was like a little teaser here. It was really, really good vibes is what I'll say about it overall. I had a fantastic time. It was like in my backyard, basically. It was a 15-minute drive, so I got to go home every night, which is a huge W. I've never had that before because like even Shine, whether it was in Worcester or when it was in Boston, like it was always like, I don't know, it's not like super close to me or anything. Like I could take the train or whatever, but 15-minute drive was like super nice, especially this time of year. I love driving this time of year. It's the best. It's beautiful. It's like one of the best times in New England. So I hope the tournament sticks around and does well and keeps growing, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. How you doing, Max? What's up, dude?
Not bad, man. Also just getting ready for Let's Make Moves Miami. Pretty excited for that. As soon as it's going to get cold here, you know, we get to go to the beach and have a good time, and of course doing all the prep work for the tournament. It's looking pretty fun this year. Melee grew a lot from last year, which was when we introduced it, so definitely looking forward to that, particularly just because, you know, it's been a big series for Ultimate since the beginning of the game, so I'm glad that we're able to kind of branch out in that regard. Had a great time in Miami last weekend for the LG Invitational as well. Got to hang out with the boys a lot, play a lot of Rivals, play some TFT in the PC cafe. That's been the bulk of my life is, in addition to tournament prep, is just spamming TFT games and, you know, winning or losing, and the mood of my day dictated solely by that.
Do you play with Ralphie at all?
I do, yeah. We're in the same Discord. We're in call like all day, every day, yeah.
Yeah, I figured, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how fast he got good at TFT.
Bro, he got good crazy fast.
Like, really fast. He's very good.
Yeah, he just hit Challenger again. Like, he got it and then fell out and then got it back. He's a beast, man.
I was like, what the heck? He's like, yeah, I'm playing. And then he's like, all right, I hit Masters. I was like, what? I'm GM. I was like, huh? Like, what's going on? I think that was his first season he hit GM.
Like his first season was 10 and he got Masters, but then he got Challenger in his second and third sets. Yeah. So yeah, kid's a beast, dude. And shout-outs to Silvio and iSnack and all the boys in that Discord, man. If you guys are watching, those are my dogs.
Tiny just broke into my room. Like, she, like, slammed the door open.
Dude, my cat does that sometimes. She uses her head like a battering ram when she wants to get in somewhere. Douche!
Yeah. Tiny does not like when we close doors, because we don't normally close doors, but I'm, like, recording and, like, bees out there. What?
She knows. It's like a thing for cats. They hate not knowing what you're up to.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they're very nosy and curious creatures.
It's like a change of territory too. If like a section of it is like closed off, they don't like that for sure. Yeah, I'm like using the bathroom and like I just Tiny does like she like does a thing where she like pushes and she like falls when the door opens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the door to my bathroom, like the notch or whatever it is, you know, like where the knob actually closes is kind of weak. So the cats just push their way into there. And I've always got some company, man. Never.
Oh, I just fixed that on my door. I can show you how to do it.
Oh, nice. Easy. Let's go. Home improvement has.
Marcus, how you doing? What's good?
Oh, I mean, life's good. We're as you mentioned earlier, I had bronchitis. Stace had bronchitis and then she had COVID. So we were a little sick, but it's all good. Life's good. It can't get much worse than our car gets stolen, but that's being worked on.
Oh my God. We're good. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's no biggie. I mean, it is, but like, I don't know. I always say like, everybody's going through something, man. Like this is just our something. Some people have it worse, so I can't complain. Anyway, I'm good. I went to a local the other day, cause I usually go to them. But it was like the Grind 300. So it was like, all these people who used to come came out, and a lot of the new best players in a region came out, and it was like weird because normally when I go to my locals now, like I'm chilling, like I just show up, I play, like whatever, like. But I was like sitting there, I was like kind of nervous, and I was like, bro, I haven't been nervous for a tournament in like years.
Yeah.
And I got like fifth. I like lost pretty early to someone named Amrit, who is, I think, from Pittsburgh or something like that. Ryu, they're very good. And I actually got double eliminated by them. The only person I lost to that event. And I beat a lot of like good people from my region. But I had this moment where I was sitting there and I thought to myself, like, do I actually miss competing? Because if I wouldn't have those nerves if I didn't care, right? If there was like no passion behind it. And I know the answer is yes, but I also had to sit back and reflect on, like, why I don't. Part of it is that I was very spoiled, and I had a lot of tournaments in my backyard that were very large. Glitches, Pounds, SmashCon, which is now Supernova. So I could get that, like, national-level practice by sitting at home, essentially, driving 20 minutes or whatever. But now I got to pay for that, and I don't want to do that. And I also just know how much time it takes out of my life to be very, very good, or at least the point that I would want to be. So I don't know. It was like a weird thing where I'm like, man, I wish that I could, and I could, but I also understand like what that takes. I don't know. It was a weird moment. But I was really sad after I lost, like, I was like, bro, I haven't been this sad in years. And I also remember that feeling of, like, you wanting to win and then, you know, not meeting your expectations and then just sitting there like, well, this sucks. So, I don't know. It was a range of emotions. It was cool, though. And my boy Enhance won, the GOAT, Young GOAT.
Saw that.
Yep. So, I mean, I always say our region's in good hands in the future. So, that's also cool to see. But yeah,
that stuff is cool.
No, I gotta say, Marcus, I really respect you still competing, man, holding us down, the 30 plus gang. And it's also crazy that you don't experience tournament nerves. I feel like even 16-17 years into going to stuff, like every time I compete in a bracket, there's just like a little unsettled feeling in my stomach. So you're a beast for overcoming that at any point. But I think there's something novel about experiencing it again too.
Do you go to like any locals or anything, or do you only enter big events?
I only enter big events now, but why. In like the beginning of Ultimate and all throughout Smash 4 and Brawl, obviously I went to a lot of locals.
Yeah. I mean, I experienced nerves like during the beginning of Ultimate 2 with locals, but like we're so far in and like I just know what to expect. So mm-hmm. It's not like I'm going to be surprised or like shocked by what's coming for the most part. So it makes it easier for me to just go to events. Like,
no, I feel that. I think like, you know, competition, the part of your brain you use for it, it's like a muscle, you know, the more you work it out, like the less soreness you're going to experience. And I guess in that case, it's nerves or something like that. Like you're conditioned to the environment. So there's not really any wrenches in your plans. It's kind of just business as usual.
Yeah, to show up, I'm like, oh, these people are here. Okay, these is who I worry about. And then I know what to expect from the people I worry about. So it's like, I don't know. It's different. But if for some reason, like during like Smash Con or something, like people go to Xanadu early or something like that, and I have to play them, I might be a little nervous, but probably not. It's more so I'm just excited to play them because mm-hmm. I don't get to play new people that often.
No, I think it's sick that you're still like such a beast too, like topping all the events in your region. Like that's really impressive for someone who's been around forever, you know? Well, I guess it also is kind of to be expected, but you didn't fall off ever. It feels like, you know?
Yeah. I personally feel awful. Like, because I just know like, oh, if I practiced that, I probably hit that. Or if I were more aware or I played more, I would have seen the situation before, stuff like that. So I think there's part of it to say, like, what's impressive for me, I think, for myself is I'm good at, like, adapting to things I haven't seen on the fly, which is a weird skill that I didn't think was necessary, but it turns out to be very necessary. But the part of me that knows, like, the execution and the situational awareness should be a lot better, that part is hard to deal with. I'm like, with that situational awareness comes like decision making that sometimes I don't understand the gravity of the decision I'm making, and like sometimes I get hit by a punish and I'm like, I wouldn't have done that if I knew I could like take 80 or I knew yeah. I could lose my stock for that. Like but again, that comes from not playing a lot, so
right.
It's all good.
It's so scary in Ultimate specifically, like trying to jump back in, and there's just like a really good chance, like if you haven't been playing with like a diverse group of people who play a lot of different characters, you're gonna run into some bullshit and like you lose one stock to one person and then it comes into last stock and you lose. You're like, well shit, if I knew that one thing and I didn't lose my stock at zero or like 30. And I feel like that happens a lot in Ultimate too. It's funny because I do think a lot about that initial Smash Ultimate presentation, or maybe it was the second one where Sakurai's like, here's how many like matchups there's going to be in the game or whatever, or towards the end. And he's like, good luck learning them all basically. And I was like, he doesn't get it. Like Smash community's full grinders. Like obviously we're going to be, you know, at least master the important matchups, but it looks impossible sometimes. Like there are just so many nuanced things, which is why like I still, you know, even in 2024 where people are kind of feeling some sort of way about Ultimate, it's like, it's so impressive to me when people know all those things in matchups, where you see these matchups that they are more common. So you get to feel the nuance of them and get to see how top players play them and what they do. And like you said, Marcus, what they don't do is probably more important, or how they don't flub by accident against certain characters and players. And then it's like, how do you do that for a whole fucking bracket? Like that's just one matchup, like against someone who might be a little worse than you, but they know the matchup better than you. So like, you got to watch out, or they might be better than you et cetera. Like there are just so many, it's such a hard game. Like it's just such a hard game. I think is something that I think about more and more these days, to be honest with you.
I think it's very interesting. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I think I very recently truly processed the difference between some of the levels of truly knowing because sometimes I think I give myself a little bit too much credit. Like going into a match, I'll be like, I know this matchup, and like I might, but I might not like know it. And then I'll play someone like Wolf and like a matchup I know or something like that, and I'm like, oh, there really is big differences. There's like three or four like levels to it, I feel like. And like I feel like I didn't separate some of them, because like after some of my losses at my last tournament, I like played some of those like I lost 3-2 to Gluto in groups, and on Sunday he just so happened to be the person I played with the most. We played for like at least 3.5 hours or crazy, maybe even longer, and I could tell like I was learning things that I would have expected to know, but like there's just differences like between like knowing it and really, really knowing it. Like some of those other matchups, I have so many years of just muscle memory, and there's just such a difference. Like it's wild. Like and I think some characters just require more than others too, especially depending on what character you play too.
Like, I think
some characters you just could never have enough experience versus, like, I should probably just be playing versus Steve every 5 seconds of my life or something. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of, it can't hurt you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, like, a good way of thinking about it is for yourself. Because for me, I know if you sat down and you had to play the best wolf in the world, whether that's Jackal or Outro, however you ain't no way you losing. Ain't no way. It's not happening. Like, I will sit there and I'll be like, bro, just pick somebody out. Like, pick a secondary. Like, you play versus Wolf that much. If you had to sit down and play against the best Rob in the world, whether, I mean, it's obviously Zomba, but even, like, the not best Rob in the world, it's like a Anathema or something like that, you're good at the Rob matchup, but I would still be like,
yeah,
how? Oh, no, man. You
never, like, I was saying that for so long to people because I was on like a hot streak against Rob for a long time. Like, I was just considered really good at it, and I would always tell people, doesn't matter, I could still lose. I would always say that, and now that I've like been on an opposite streak, like I've lost to Zomba quite a bit, it's just That's how it is with Rob. You know what I mean? Like, I would always tell people that. I was like you may think I'm way better at the matchup than you, but we both lose the same.
Yeah, and you had a close set the last time you played in Athema, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah, I've had a couple close sets.
Yeah. So I like, you know it, but like you don't know it like you know Wolf.
You know
what I mean? Like,
and even oh, go ahead.
Like, you know. Or a better example, because Rob's kind of like a completely different, like, you know Aegis, but you don't know Aegis the way you know Wolf, you know what I mean? Like, you know Aegis, but who knows? Like, I'm not going to be like, he's guaranteed to win versus every Aegis he plays. I would think, yeah, he's probably going to win, but I don't know. Like, yeah. It's not the same.
You know what
I
realized? Because I actually know Fawk. I didn't realize how much I knew that matchup.
Yeah.
But when I play against a bunch of different players, like, I do think I'm actually really, really good against Fox.
You are trash. You were really bad against Fox. But
I was. I play against Paris so much, and we go back and forth so much that I didn't realize that, like, I really did have a good handle on it, but I definitely have a good handle, like, overall. There's a couple other ones, like, that I don't know if... I think some of them might transcend games more than others, which is fortunate.
Falcon.
Like, I think I'm really good versus Mario.
Yes.
Yeah. And I haven't necessarily practiced it in Ultimate, though. You know what I mean? I like, in my head, like, I'm fighting the same stuff as last game.
I feel like some characters are just so much more flexible in the way that they play too. Like Rob, for example, there are 100 different ways you could play Rob, and it's less like, you know, less of what to expect just because you know how to fight one guy's Rob or like the top Rob players. There could always be something that you're not ready for. Whereas like Wolf, Mario, I feel like those are pretty linear characters with like just one or two base game plans.
Yeah. Matchups I definitely know are like Falcon, Thorin. And these are in terms of like good characters. Fox,
Falcon, good.
You've never lost to a Falcon, right?
I guess, I can't believe you just did that. I've lost to one Falcon across Smash 4 Ultimate, and he is in.
Oh,
this
who is that?
And it is Max. I'm serious. Like, well, I'm like 99.9% sure because I can't think of any other example. I've never lost to Falcon except Max at a local in Smash 4.
You know, we do what we do around here. I think also Fatality has lost to one Falcon in the Ditto as well, and he's also in this call.
Huh?
That was me.
No, that was me for a hundo at Evo. You know, just had to clean him up real quick.
Max Falcon days are different, dude.
Joker, do you agree with that one, Marcus? I think I'm good at that one.
I don't know.
Maybe not to the same degree, huh?
I don't think it's like Mario. Like, I'm not sure. I'm sure it's happened, but I almost never see you get laddered.
Dude.
I almost never see you get hit by up smash.
I had a special ability to not get bullshitted by Mario my whole life. And then I went up 2-0 versus Snow at Riptide, and I started getting laddered. And I was like, wait, it's possible versus me? What? Like possible in terms of like impactful, like game stealing, yeah, or like stock kill, like early kills. Like, he actually did it a couple times. And like, I did like the lean in game 5. But yeah, for some reason, I'm pretty good versus Mario. Joker, maybe. Olimar, I think I'm very good versus Olimar, actually.
I mean, you beat Shuton multiple times.
That was just from pure hatred growing up versus the Buzz and being truly bad at it before. Like, I don't think I could, like, I don't think I'm going to beat every Olimar every time, especially because it's pretty hard for Diddy. But I do think I'm good at it. Because the whole weekend, everyone was so nervous for Shuton, like Sonics and Gluto. And I found myself giving advice to so many different people about Olimar. And I'm just thinking, like, when did I get this good at it? Like, I'm going, like, so specific. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm good at that matchup. So yeah, there's a couple, but there's someone I'm super nervous for. Like, if I have to play Beast Mode Paul or like a hero,
oh,
it's over.
Well, what I was gonna say is, why don't we go around and say what we think Gavin's best matchup is? Have we done this before? I feel like we might have.
I think so.
Did we do this? Chat, let us know if we did. Anyway, we'll make it quick then. Marcus.
Wolf.
Max.
Kazuya.
I'll one up you, Ken.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cheating. Then I changed my answer to Falcon.
I was gonna say Falcon too. Like, Falcon is also way up there. Like, when I look at your brackets and who do I feel nervous about / who do I feel super confident about? If you ever lost to a Falcon, I'd be completely like mind blown. Like, yeah, there's just no way.
Me too. We'll see. There's always a chance.
It's possible,
like,
yeah.
Other ones I think I'm good at, and I would like to have a chance to prove it for some of them. But sometimes it's hard because, like, I've played a lot of good matchups versus these characters too. I think I'm good versus Zero Suit. I also think I'm really good versus Yoshi, but I haven't played Yoshi Dora yet. I actually think I'm really good versus Yoshi. But we'll see.
Yeah, that would be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, I would like to see it. But yeah, that's the thing with, like, Kazuya and Ken, though. Like, Diddy Kong just really beats fighting game characters. Like, when I lost to Oshimo, I was just like, what?
Like, I'll be honest. I think this is a
long time coming, though, because we played a few times, and it's getting closer and closer. So, like, I'm not surprised in terms of the game counts and everything. But in terms of the matchup, I'm definitely surprised. But he was clearly ready. Like, he was down for it to go to time, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did not want to lose that. So,
the only way Ryu wins that matchup is by just not interacting.
Just down tilt, shield, fireball. That's it. Also, used to think I was really good versus Wario, and now me and Gluto is like so back and forth that I don't know. But I also think Wario Diddy Kong is like really hard. Because back in the day with Gluto, I think I beat him with like PT, Wolf, the Ditto. Then Diddy Kong. And then, like, once he got, like, one win, it just got way harder. Like, I think that might be a Gluto thing in general. I think once Gluto gets a hold of something, it's, like, hard for him to it's hard to take it from.
I kind of say the same thing about Ashimo too, because we kind of watched him chip away at that matchup with you too. And I don't know if everyone knows, because it was on like a weird side stream, but you guys went game five. You had to reverse 3-0 him at Supernova. So the way I took that, I wasn't sure if you were just like having a bad day that weekend or whatever. And then you just
Yeah, I wasn't sure either.
Yeah. And then I saw you guys at the play again. I'm like, okay, I'm excited to see this because I, you know, whatever. Like I thought, again, another character that.
Another game five, right?
Yeah. And again, it's a character that I have a lot of confidence. I mean, you—it's not just like that. It's that archetype. It's you—you've played against Vendetta a ton in the past, and every one of the—it's a fighting game character player rite of passage where you try your Kazuya, you try Terry, you try Ken against Diddy, and then you're like, I don't know what to do. I need to throw fucking fireballs, and you pick Ryu, and like that's just that's how it goes. Like I could do it with Ken. I could do it. I could do it with Kazuya. No problem. Like all good. Nope, I need to start throwing fireballs. Like, I need to start doing that. His, dude, his Nair, too, is just so... Dude, it's the more I think about it, the better... It's funny, too, that... Not funny. It's interesting, too, that Marcus also had a hard time with Ryu this weekend, because I got to imagine that that matchup is...
What, like, I'm not going to lie. Ryu players' game plans are so disciplined and, like, strong right now. Like, and... To be fair, I think the game plan is pretty obvious, because like the windows for all the confirms are just like infinite, but they just have a game plan and they do not lose sight of it lately. Like it's actually I think it's kind of fitting for the character. Like he's so grounded and you just will not stop him from doing his game. Like when I watch every Ryu player play, it's like they are all one connected brain that leveled up recently. Like they just do not go down without like a fight lately. Like they stand their ground. Their combos are like they always get that clean 30 no matter what, like that kind of thing. Like it is insane lately. Like they just do not give it up like at all.
Yeah, it feels like they got the collective hope. Like, Ashimo can do this. Like, hold on, let me lock in. Let me see what bro's doing. And maybe I don't know how tight their community is. And how much like they share tech and like strategies together, but I also think it probably deals with like belief in the character. Like I think a long time ago, I don't think people thought too highly of Ryu.
Yeah.
And maybe the Ryu players themselves kind of were like, I mean, he's pretty good, but not that good. But I think they're starting to believe in Ryu a lot more, especially since Ashimo's like winning tournaments and doing very well in some of Ryu's hardest matchups. And It gives them the hope, like, well, I mean, I'm not out of this yet. Like, before, I felt like I was out of this. But now, hey, you never know. I might hit this little combo with the up airs and get kind of nasty on you real quick out of nowhere. So it's cool to see. It's definitely frustrating to play against now because with Ken, I don't have to worry about the fireballs nearly as much. Like anyone doesn't have to worry about the fireballs nearly as much, but the mix up between the fireballs, the blue fireball, the red fireball, the slow fireball, the fast fireball, it can be tough to get in.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. Like, to just keep it blunt, they just stopped interacting.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yeah, but like. They collectively realize that is very strong.
Yeah, they're just standing there. That's the vibes I get from it is that they are standing their ground, like
consistently. Well, and he gets so many opportunities to get those early kills on you because if he's camping you and you're just chipping away at him and now Ryu's at 150 and you're at 40 and he catches you on a platform with an up air, oops, you're fucking dead. That's how it goes. Like it's just the way it goes. And I think too, I love what you said about Ryu, Gavin, because I agree 1,000%. People who play Terry and Kazuya and Ken, Terry has the cool ground, Kazuya has the cool ground movement, right? Like the wave dashing type shit. Terry has crack shoot. Ken has really good dash. It's like, it's so fucking fun to use, but it's like, and I think that's why you see Jazzo does well with Ken. Cause like, he kind of fights against that natural urge to just like mash forward and just dash all the time. He kind of walks a little bit more and parries and plays a slower game. But like you said, that's Ryu's strong suit. Like of those four, like that's something that he does so well by comparison. And like Marcus said too, I love to hear you say it, Marcus, because it reminds me, I mean, this Ryu is mostly based on Super Turbo, but also on obviously Street Fighter 4, because of the focus attack, but it's mostly Super Turbo, and that was his whole game in Super Turbo. He was a top tier, threw fireballs with very different mix-ups on the on timings on when does he throw them, is it slow, is it fast, you know, all those different things. Like, are you cornered, is he going to throw one, or if you jump, is he just going to anti-air you? Like, and in Smash, the anti-air is up air, which is also the same exact move basically in Super Turbo, which is super cool. So I just love the design philosophy behind that. But you're right, Gavin, where it's like, he's like a tank. Like, he's going to sit there and he's happy. Zero interactions to him feels good because he knows if he hits you once, and especially Oshimo, his conversion game is just so ridiculous with the character. His DPS, just insanity. Like that, and that's also how he did Light.
He can flip the switch. He can flip the switch, which is very impressive. I think that's why we all came to love Oshimo's gameplay was the, like, he just get crazy clips on top players with Ryu, and like a lot of us old heads don't like the fighting game characters. And everyone I talk to is like, I can't help it. Oshimo's like my new favorite player. They all like love watching him play. And I get it. Like, it's incredible to watch. And I don't normally like watching fighting game characters, even if I know the player's strong. Like, I don't care for it, obviously. But watching Oshimo, there's just something different there. And there's things like the auto turnaround down smash in the scraps is actually ridiculous, because obviously it always combos into red fireball. And Oshimo also has something different about the shield pressure when it comes to the focus can. There's something about it that feels a lot harder to out of shield when I'm fighting Oshimo. It feels like when he gets actual approaches, it feels weird to get away or fight back sometimes. So yeah, it's wild. It's kind of crazy because I feel like it's obvious the character was going in like the whole like defensive, like tanky direction, but it's pretty wild how consistent it is. And most of it just stems from hard down tilt fireball always working.
That's a lot. I think too, even that down smash thing you're talking about, Gavin, he doesn't have to go down smash red fireball. He can go with the blue and try to jab lock you on the tech chase afterwards as well at later percentages. Like, so you have to, I don't know, dude, like if you don't know, if you get mixed, like, especially by Oshimo, it could just be fucking over. It just happens. What were you saying, Max? Sorry.
Yeah, like, the key difference between Smash 4 Ryu and this Ryu is that the fireball is actually worth respecting. In the last game, he was just an up tilt or down tilt on your shield into Rage Shoryuken bot, but in this game, I don't know, man. Like, Shaku demands a lot of space.
The windows are just larger for every percent. It kind of reminds me of Luigi. Sorry to cut you off. Like, I love what you're saying, because in Smash 4... versus characters like Ryu and Luigi, there's percentages that you don't have to worry about as much in terms of them getting like something super specific and valuable. Like in Smash 4, it was like for Luigi, it's like kill percent and 0%, like weird stuff like that. And then there's middle grounds where like you take normal damage when you get hit. But versus Luigi in this game, at the cost of like slower grab, which ended up being probably better overall, but that's a different conversation, everything is dangerous, and that's so much harder to fight against. And for Ryu, it surprisingly feels like that too, where in Smash 4 it was clearly like easier or whatever, but in this game I think they've found that while also finding the consistency, because there's no window of safety. There's always a window where they can get something that's super optimal and super dangerous for you. And I guess like the patches really kind of changed that direction of the character. I've never really made that comparison, but in Smash 4, there's definitely been situations where like I'm fighting the character and it doesn't feel as dangerous, but there's like a couple windows that are really, really like danger, danger, danger. But in Ultimate, it kind of feels like it's so figured out that everything is really scary.
I think it's the up air, man, because like when you're canceling out of hit one of up air, they don't go anywhere. It doesn't matter what percent you're at. It's going to combo. And then, you know, down smash cancel, particularly two of those into red fireball is kill percent or like very near kill percent. So you can, within 2 to 3 openings, just kill someone if you hit any up air.
It's so like the game plan is very consistent.
gonna say, I think consistency is the name of the game, and I think too, like, just recognizing that Shaku and the fireballs, that was a buff, like, that did not exist before he got buffed. Like, and again, mm-hmm. I think Ken and Ryu are up there for the most buff characters ever in Ultimate's history, because adding a new move is just such a ridiculous thing that they did with proxy jab. It just didn't used to do that. It used to just be strong up tilt. Was the down smash canceling as well? Like, think about that. Mm-hmm. Think of how impactful all that shit is now. And how long did it take for us to figure this out? You know, and Ashimo, like, blew up after COVID, after quarantine, right? It was at the Givitation where we really saw him. And then Aiken, don't forget Aiken too, also had that run of Genesis. So it took a long time for this character, like, the buffs to really kick in and to be figured out, to find that consistency. But damn, and I think a part of that is like, I think that there was, and I think what Max is saying is true too, that Ryu's had to change the way they were playing the game a lot, especially after the buffs too. The buffs, like, were pushed in the right direction, and they were needed, obviously. I think Ken and Ryu were regarded, especially Ryu, were being regarded as, like, some of the worst characters in the game. Like, it was just so bad, like, almost unusable. Which I don't know how true that was. Maybe get Lim Cook a little bit more and see what happens. But those buffs, like, I don't think we'd be here today talking about this if he didn't get buffed like that. It changed his neutral. Like, it changed the way he handles an entire match, not just his punishes, not just everything else. Like, that all came along too, which is great, but it's huge. Like, it's just enormous.
Ken's gameplay is so much more free flow, which I think is an interesting idea, but I guess with Ultimate's mechanics and just with how it played out, it leaves so much for the opponent to escape and things like that. Like, it's an interesting thought with how, you know, like, the resets and the mix-ups with Ken, but I think it's gotten to the point where, like Ken kind of needs that consistency that Ryu has, because he doesn't have as much to rely on. And with Ryu, it's like, a lot of it is not free flow at all. It's like, you can take your 30 to 40 and do that a couple times, and, like, your opponent doesn't have a choice. It's either you either get hit by it or you don't. So I think for that archetype with Ken's playstyle, as interesting of an idea as it is, it's just not as, I don't think.
It's interesting that you're saying that. Also, loving this topic, by the way. Something I think about.
This is the Haz episode.
Welcome back to Haz Heckles. Come on, baby. But it's interesting because we're talking about this also in the wake of Vendetta having some of the best results he's ever had. And the wins he got against Mudace were with Ken, as far as I saw. I hope that's not incorrect. But I think that just, I think it's why you see players like Jazzo and Vendetta and Takara all be like, whoa, shit, they got third, or they got second at this tournament. And it's like, wait, where are, like, you got to be scrolling sometimes to find them on the list. Oh, dang, they didn't even get 33rd or whatever, right? Like, it just happens. And like you said, when that offense is firing for him and he's kind of guessing and reading right, or whatever you want to call it, catching, call it defensive habit, reading, call it coin flipping, whatever the fuck you want to call it, it is, as you said, Gavin, by nature, less consistent what Ryu has, which is just, and I think part of it too, the disappointing part for me about how Ken's inconsistency plays out is because of things that they don't really balance for, like SDI. Like, I'm pretty sure they wanted Crescent to be some sort of real true setup type deal thing, but people just SDI everything he does. People fall out of Shoryu so much, which partially I think is user error, to be honest with you. But then other parts, it's just really good SDI, or you're fighting a skinny character, so they fall out of it. So some things are frustrating with it, but I love what you're saying. And I think that is how they are supposed to be designed fundamentally. Ken is a rushdown, mix you up type character who gets in your face and mashes. Like, that's, and that's why I love him, obviously. Whereas Ryu's more like he chills and he throws fireballs and he, like, thinks and, like, he's patient. And, like, that's how they're fucking designed as characters. If you pay attention to their stories, like, Ryu's meditate underneath a waterfall, and Ken's crypto bad dad or whatever the fuck he is at this point. I don't even know, to be honest. That saddened me so much I had to distance myself from it. But anyway, it's really cool. I love they did.
They nailed it.
They nailed it. That's a great, that's a succinct way to say it, Gavin. I agree.
Yeah, Haz, if you didn't, or actually I think Marcus brought it up initially, but, like, the whole comparison to Street Fighter Ryu, like, he really does feel like a Street Fighter character now. It's like, well, you can either sit here and deal with my fireball pressure, or you can try to jump over it and get fucked for that too. So, you know, pick your poison. You just got to guess right or overwhelm him to the degree that he can't actually do that, or camp him out harder. And none of those are easy game plans.
Yeah. It's interesting because usually when I'm fighting the other characters, it's an obvious game plan and it might take a while, but it's easy-ish. Yeah, with Ryu, it was like that for a while, but now I have to figure some stuff out to see if it can be easy or if I have to actually work really hard to beat that character.
I was gonna ask you, after reflecting on the set, what are your thoughts on like what you want to improve on when the next time?
I think I already got it. But
okay. No spoilers. Yeah. Sorry. All right. All good. All good.
It might have just naturally been figured out based on the other recent stuff I've been practicing. So we'll see. I think Oshima's just a strong player too. So I think I might have needed to. Like, there's a couple of them. Like, when I lose the Gluto, it definitely is, like, it hurts my pride a little bit. Because, like, I've been playing Wario my whole life. And, like, to me, I don't care what matchup it is. I feel like I should be able to beat a Wario player just from my own experience and everything. But, obviously, Gluto is, like, my favorite player. I have a lot of respect for him. And, surprisingly, the Oshima loss kind of feels similar where, you know, it's like, oh, snap, like, Week is this good player who lost like a good matchup. It kind of hurts my pride in the same way as losing to Wario, but one of them is a matchup thing and one of them is like a player experience thing. So yeah, I don't know. I part of me thinks it's kind of helpful to like get it out of the way, like get the one loss to Oshima and see if it can kind of be like a relief kind of thing. Same thing with Riddles. Like I've lost a couple times and like when I and those matchups I'm very confident in. So when I lose them, it's like, damn, I really shouldn't lose them. And then I'll have a couple sets versus Riddles where it feels like that pressure is like completely off my shoulder, and like I'm not thinking about like how good the matchup is, should I be winning, should I be losing, and I kind of just play it out. So I'm hoping for matchups like that in the future, I kind of just disregard all of that stuff because it doesn't really matter. And Oshima's a strong player, Gluto's a strong player, just like keep it moving. It's weird, but I feel like they're similar experience in my head.
Yeah, and I mean, if you notice who we all said we think your strongest matchups are, some of those stem from you losing, like Kazuya. Max said Kazuya, which I think is a great answer, but it's someone that you lost to. You had to learn to get good at, you know what I mean? And I think that's a great point.
Damn, I still remember Ag. A collision. I think you almost JV forward Akazia while I was watching you off stream. I was like, Jesus Christ, bro. Maybe I need to pick up Diddy.
On FD, I think.
Yeah, it was.
You almost like JV forward again, too.
I used to just like leave FD open because Diddy Kong clearly still beats Kazuya on FD. Like, sometimes I'll like, it was like an experiment at one point. I'm kind of against it now. Like, I haven't really lost on it or anything, but I just don't even risk it versus someone like Riddles. But in my head, I don't see a difference. If I'm Diddy Kong specifically, like there's the whole Kazuya on FD thing, and it's like, well, I don't think Diddy Kong sees a difference, to be honest. Same thing with Mario. Like sometimes people are like talking about Mario on Battlefield so much. Like back in the day, I would be like, you know what? I'm gonna let them go there just to see for myself. That one was true. That one was definitely true, and I'm not gonna do that again. But Kazuya on FD, I might let them try it out.
That's such a you thing to do, man. Like, me and Charles told you for how long, go wolf, go wolf, go wolf. And you're like, Sephiroth.
I do it to myself all the time. Like at Supernova versus Hurt, instead of picking Sephiroth, I pick Diddy Kong. Like I just, Charles had to get used to that as my coach pretty quickly that like, I don't.
He still isn't used to it. What the hell are you talking about?
I just don't listen. Like I just do what I decide I'm gonna do, like 5 seconds before, like kind of things. I don't know. It's just how I roll.
I feel like you also like proving people wrong.
Oh yes. I also like winning when the odds are against me sometimes too. Like back in the day, I would pick Bayo versus Esam. Just to prove that like I could do it, because a lot of the other players were losing, and I would lose too, and like when I could clearly do something better. And towards the end of Smash 4, I like finally went Cloud and like won. But like I've always been like that, for better or for worse.
I was gonna say, I don't want to kill your chat interactions when you stream, but he is not listening to any of your fucking character suggestions out there. He's not listening to Marcus's, he's not listening to Charles. I don't listen to any of them, man. Like you said, you don't even know who you're picking some days. Like, you just, oh, well, I'm just doing this, I guess, today.
Yeah,
could be You saw like some random shit. Sephiroth versus
Paris for no reason.
Yep. Like, yeah. You saw some random shit on the elevator on the way to the venue, and you were like, "Oh yeah, okay, true. I should play Wario today." Oh, all right, cool. Sounds good, Gavin. No problem. Great, man. Sounds cool. Anyway,
it's fun that way, though.
I guess we did talk about Luminosity quite a bit. Anything else? I know you were there too, Max, on the mic, of course, killing it. Anything else you guys want to say about that event? I think the big things we're obviously covering. The Oshimo matchup was obviously Cola. One for me. I don't know anything else you guys wanted to say, too. The Goat Cola. It's, man, it's just such a great day in Ultimate when Cola does well. It really
no
is.
No tears
dude.
Can do it, guys.
He finally said Roy is good. He finally said it.
That was actually
his interview. His interview, his pop off, his run through the bracket, like everything about that was magical, man. And I think, you know, on top of that, Spargo for the third tournament in a row, not winning, unfortunately, but making it to Grands, using Roy again to beat Sonics,
that,
by the way.
He should not have won. That was so wild that he beat Sonics there. You should have, like the venue was crazy. We were all freaking out that whole time. Like that was a crazy comeback.
Last stock was nuts.
Yeah, it was the last stock. Up tilt of all things at the end too.
You could tell it was just a wild swing. Like, please get off of me! And then Sonics just so happens to be behind him in the sweet spot. Like, come on, man! You know that wasn't planned. You know you were just getting a little lucky right there. But I think it shows that Roy is still worth something in the meta. Like, the character's really fast and can mow you down. So if he gets started, it almost doesn't matter that he has a lot of bad matchups against top tiers, because he's such a momentum-based character. I think the character's still good enough to do it. But on paper, he does kind of suck.
Yeah, I think too. So the other thing, I don't remember which caster it was, but it was a great storyline drop where they said, you know, going into day two, Spargo and Sonics are playing round one of losers. So one of them is going to be out of the fucking tournament. And the other one's probably going to get second or first after making a crazy losers run, right? And the other thing is the person who loses that, what a mark on your season. Like that, I can't believe it. You know, like two of the most consistent names that we have in the game, not just in losers that early, but because they took a couple of set losses earlier in the day on Saturday before coming into Championship Sunday. And it's just like, that was a good, I just thought that was a great, I don't know if that was you, Max, or I forget who it was, but that was a great.
It might have been, I don't know.
Great point. I'm not sure, Last or somebody, but shout out to that caster for bringing up that storyline, because I was very, very invested in that. I was invested anyway, just because obviously it was going to influence a lot of how the tournament was going to go, but I was like, oh shit, we're not just talking this Invitational, we're talking potentially really having a big outcome on your entire season, which is wild, wild.
It was crazy because also that day, Shuton dropped zero games. Like he just
was
in winners finals, zero games dropped. And I was like, what in the world is going on here? Like, is this about to be Riptide, but he actually wins this time? And then Cola just is like, hey, you dropped zero games, but I'm locked in. And it's crazy because Cola hates Aegis, as far as I know. And he beat Shutons and then he beat Spargos. Like, and the matchup can't be great. Like, it just, it can't be. But he made it work. And I think that this tournament was really impressive for Shutons specifically, because this is a good mark for a season. Getting, was that second at Riptide, two wins on Sonics. Third here. He lost to Spargo, so it's a pretty rough record versus Spargo. I think he's 0-3, but against everybody else, he's looking very, very good. Oh, Gavin beat him. So against everybody else, he's looking very, very good. Very, very good candidate for a top five season, which is probably going to be his highest placement since Alt started. I know he's gotten top six, maybe, like he's six or something like that.
I think he was six.
I don't know if he's ever been top five, but it's very possible. And I don't know, that was a crazy event. There were a lot of storylines there.
I thought the same thing going in. Well, I think we mentioned on the podcast, it definitely delivered. But yeah, Roy is one of those characters where I always feel like I'm ready for it, and then when I play someone like Cola, like before I can blink, like I already lost. So I can see where Max is, what he was saying about Roy. Did I cut out?
Yeah.
I was just saying I could see where Max is coming from about Roy, just from personal experience, where I always feel prepared, but was I cutting out again?
The interesting thing about Roy is that, like Max said, he's very momentum based, but he also only really needs sometimes a few interactions per stock to win. Sometimes it's literally one. Like if he gets like a good forward air on you off stage and then upbeats back to ledge, some characters he can just cover however they recovers. But sometimes it's one in the sense that he'll hit you with a combo, do like forward air off stage, and then you're on the ledge and you have to get off the ledge. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened recently. I don't know if they figured out like jab shield is crazy. But they'll do like now at this point they're just jab. Like I saw Spargo do like three or four jabs in a row when Sonix is on the ledge. And it's like, yeah, he's gonna hit you with the sour spot sometimes if you hold too long, but then you're back and you gotta try again.
I don't think Sonix is always realizing / prepared to just hold ledge there. Roy can't do anything meaningful if you hold ledge from the ground.
Yeah.
Sonic has the best ledge hang in the game. Yeah. Roy can only sour spot Sonic on the ledge. Or Roy can only sour spot anyone, I think, on the ledge.
Usually, yeah.
So just wait.
Yeah.
Like don't even get up.
It's so scary.
I know it's scary, but there's the occasional situation where a visual cue is shown and Sonic's responds to it. You probably shouldn't respond at all. Especially as Sonic. Because you have such a good hurt box in that situation, like just don't get up instantly. Like getting up instantly, like just do this.
Wait. But that said, there were a couple moments in the set where he doesn't do anything on the ledge and Spargo runs off and back airs him. And if you're high enough damage, it's going to be on.
I know, but how is he getting hit by that?
I don't know.
It's scary because he could fake. You could fake run off.
As soon as Roy leaves the ground, you respond.
Like, okay, but if
it's also that was wild, by the way, crazy. That down smash, because he knew Roy was like facing backwards or whatever.
But it's just the possibility that he could fake a runoff or fake a trump. You know what I mean? Like,
I get it. I think you also have to credit like Spargo's like baits and visual cues, and, like momentum swings. Like, I get it. Like, I get messed up by Roy in those spots too, and my character has a ridiculous ledge hang. But I don't know. Especially with Sonic's unique options off the ledge on top of this, I feel like I expected him to be more ready for those scenarios the second time around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not a pro Sonic player, or like these are two players that are ranked higher than me and all that, but that's how I felt when I was watching it. That was one of the key things I wanted to see from Sonic's. Also, there was these strange, like, long periods of time where Sonic was specifically fishing for rising up air, and I just don't see that vision versus Roy specifically, because I just don't. Like, it would be, like, a minute straight of looking for it. It wasn't working, and he would start spinning again in neutral, and it was working. And I was just like, but he was already at, like, 100. You know what I mean? And I was just like, it just felt like, maybe there was a very specific game plan going into it and it wasn't working and he didn't like adjust to like normal gameplay fast enough. I don't know, but there were so many things that legit baffled from that set specifically. But I don't know. The ending was wild.
Dude, for sure.
And the DI on the jab and everything, like,
mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, this scramble.
Something I also like is when Spargo finds consistency in the character that he wants to play against Sonix. You know, it was Aegis for a while, and then he kind of, like, Sonix got wildly good at the Aegis matchup. And he was like, oh, I'll go Aegis sometimes. Oh, I might try Corrin, or I might try, like, just a couple different characters. But damn, it's been Roy for a little while now, and I really appreciate that. Like, I really think that's sick. Like, he's just, I don't know, Spargo's that guy, dude. I just really appreciate the way he plays the game and how he can make things work for very specific counter picks. Like, I don't think we're going to see his Roy against anybody else. Probably not. Maybe another Sonic, like a top level Sonic player, maybe, but he might just go Aegis. Like, why not? Because I don't think any other top level Sonic has the matchup down even close to what Sonic does for Aegis. It's so impressive.
Do you guys think Cloud can do it versus Sonic at all?
No.
No?
I'm sure it's doable. Like, I can't imagine a character as good as Cloud having a truly unwinnable matchup.
Right.
But if it's easier with other characters and you can play them, like, why would you ever do that?
Well, pick Cloud when Aegis is right there. You know what I mean? Like,
like,
fine.
Though, I am surprised that it's Roy that's been his answer. Because, I mean, obviously he's tried Cloud and Aegis. He tried Corrin for a while, got pretty close, and then started getting less close. But I would not think it's a character who's entire game plan is based around jump ins or like a large part of it, because Sonic is the best in the game at whiff punishing your landing aerials, right? So that's why I'm so shocked that it's Roy. Obviously, like, he hits hard enough though that like you make it count when you get the opening. If he doesn't stuff you or, you know, whiff punish you for trying to come in, he will die. And that's something that Mythra can't do. That's something that Corrin kind of can do, and usually Cloud doesn't do it either. Like, Cloud has to get you with something specific. Roy just kills off straight hits.
I think Roy can chase the spin mix up on shield when he goes above your shield after, like, he can threaten that like area above really quickly, really with really strong stuff. Like, Roy might care a little bit less about like the home attack mix up, the stuff, because he gets places so quickly with such strong moves. Also, I think some of the way he swings his moves and the activity of some of his moves actually naturally beats spin too. Like, sometimes Roy will, like, jump into Sonic when he's, like, committed to, like, the spin that has to be released. And he just, like, lets every hit of side B rip. And, like, as long as one of them hits, like, he wins the scenario. Like, there's some stuff like that, I feel like. But I think other than that, I think it's simply, like, when Sonic does an interaction where he usually, like, safely, like, pressures your shield and then gets out, he doesn't get out compared to other characters. A lot of the time he does it, and then he actually has to scrap with Roy after, which is pretty rare, I think. Kind of like Fox, where, like, if you try to, like, poke away at Fox, you kind of have to deal with him afterwards. Even though, like, his shield is going to be weaker than yours, or Roy's shield is going to be weaker than yours, you still have to deal with something that I feel like other characters, they don't even have the statistics to do anything, period. Because, like, the spin is, like, plus, their shield is weak, they don't have, like, ground speed or something like that, or, like, big enough hitboxes. Like, so, like, the situation just repeats itself until the game is over. I think Roy and Fox, the situation doesn't repeat itself.
I also think that Roy is built like a good mixture of Pyra and Mythra, where you're fast and strong at the same time. And
yeah,
low-key has a better recovery than both of them, maybe. Like, it's at least comparable. But, I mean, Roy's recovery is ass. I've been preaching that for years. Like, how people are so, like, quick to move off of Prom. But
trash,
Roy's is just as bad, if you know.
Okay, whoa.
Obviously not just. Whoa. It's still bad. It's still bad.
Diddy Kong can't edgeguard Roy.
Really? I don't know about that, man. I think you can meet him.
I played, like, three or four, like, high stakes money matches versus Cola at Riptide. I did really well, but we were just like arguing the whole time about the matchup, like loudly.
Of course, you too.
Yeah, right. For real. So expected. Well,
Diddy's F tilt doesn't hit Roy's neutral B, and of course, all the Roy players are going to say it does. If this is a correct situation, I've never fucking landed it.
Just hit him in the head, bro. Dare him. Fuck it.
Dude, that shit don't work. You know Z-drop doesn't hit either? It just doesn't hit.
Really?
It doesn't work. I swear on everything it doesn't work. Like, in a normal scenario where he just recovers traditionally, like, if he has no resources and, like, he, like, doesn't snap the ledge or whatever, like, I just kill him. Like, but that's any character. Like, these normal F tilt doesn't work. D drop doesn't work. Like, I don't, if I go out there, like, what move can I have to, like, you don't, like, if there's a situation where he's so far off enough, I just forward air, right? Take the trade. But, like, he actually kind of sucks at edgeguarding Roy. I swear. Like, please believe me. I am not like a Diddy Kong, like, pessimist. He actually sucks at edgeguarding Roy. He does.
I have a solution.
Same. I know there is a solution. Barrel crash into the ledge 2-frame and it actually works.
Sure, great. Other solution to help you learn the matchup. You pick Roy, Lade picks Diddy Kong, and that way you learn the matchup on Wi-Fi. We need to spread the lore of this. This is so funny.
This is actually peak.
It is.
Lade keeps hitting me up to play because The thing is, I found out he didn't even watch me versus Hurt. He heard he heard that I lost to Hurt Snake and keeps hitting me up to teach me the matchup. Not only teach me the matchup, he wants me to pick Snake and him to pick Diddy Kong. And we I finally said yes today, and we played, and we're just the two worst players of all time with these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was learned, and we ended up just chatting about it, and it was way better.
Dude, more context, those don't know Lade. He's got a start in Brawl. He was like the best Pit player ever. He's so sick at Brawl. Great Smash 4 player, New England PR throughout all these games, Ultimate 2 if you paid attention. He's kind of moved on from competing, but he still is like, he's just the best. He's like one of my favorite people I've ever met through Smash. And I went out to dinner with him and Light Mars. I talked about that last week. And he told me, he's like, you got to tell Tweak if he wants to learn the Snake matchup, he can go Snake. And I go, I'll go Diddy Kong. And I was like, okay, that sounds cool. I was like, what the fuck? He just, and you were saying this.
He does things first so off, strangely. Yeah,
he is the weirdest player, and I was trying to compare him to somebody. Just like the way he looks at the game is so, like, I wish I could understand it. I played hundreds of hours against him in multiple Smash games, and I just don't understand how he
doesn't help you for anyone else.
No, yes, he is one of those guys 100%. You're like, oh, I know how to play Lucina, or I know how to play against Rob. Nope, you have no. Oh, they
no.
Didn't. Okay, no, does not. It might do the opposite, honestly. It might make you worse. So that maybe that's why you wanted to play
me. The clip of him versus the me sums up his entire playstyle, though.
Dude, like
it looks troll, and it kind of is embellished in that clip, but he actually plays like that.
Like, I've always found it fascinating, and I think it really speaks to the fact that, like, no conventional way to play Smash is the right way, right? Like, you can actually do whatever you want in this game and kind of get away with it, as long as you're good. If you make good decisions and you make good reads, you don't have bad habits, like, a lot of different styles can win, even if it doesn't look right, you know?
Which is funny, because some weird play styles super stand out, and a lot of people play weird, but, like, some are just that weird. Like, I even think I play strange. I don't think I've ever seen anyone that really plays like me. Maybe a couple comparisons, but then there's someone like Lade where, like, there is no comparison. I can maybe think of two comparisons for myself, which is enough, I guess. So,
you play uniquely, but it looks right. You know what I'm saying? You're very fast and fluid and stuff. Lade is just fucking weird, bro.
It's so weird, dude. Like, why did he just F smash like that in neutral at 0%? Like, it doesn't, but it hits, you know? It's so weird.
Yeah, I just saw that counter.
Dude, I sent our producer, Chris, the tweet of that meme. Dude, it is one of my favorite ultimate clips of all time. Yeah, there it is. All right, live.
I've never Lade's seen this. So I gotta tap in.
You've never seen this?
No, I have to see
this. The title
of
the tweet is bullied him because his me sounded like that, and his me is like a really dorky voice. All right, Lade's on the Lucina. Yep. All right. There you go. All right, let's see. It'll hit a little different without the sound, but... Oh, there you go. Nice.
Yeah!
I don't know why he did this. I'm gonna clip this stuff out, but that's okay. It's all part of it. Right.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep. Wait.
Bro.
Dude, the counter at the end is just like, how? You know, like, how? Like, what the heck?
I think it's like, you know when people, like, break Puff's shield after she misses a rest? It's like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I know that you're holding shield or that you're going to mash after this. And, yeah, oh my god, he was in his head. But, yeah, I mean, like, it's the stuff leading up to the edge guard that's weird, like. He's just a weird player. I don't know.
He's very, very unique and very strange. Yeah. That's my guy. Dude, so fun. That I just retweeted again, by the way. It's from 2020. It's from 4 years ago. I do retweet it like once or twice a year because it still is one of my favorite clips. It's just so ridiculous.
That reminds me of shouts to Glenn Tendo.
Hell yeah.
There's a clip of me like on Yoshi's Story to like the stupid baby music. Like I'm just like wall clinging on the bottom. He has limit and he like comes down and he tries to limit cross slash me, and he's at like zero, and I footstool him, and he just dies to the footstool, and he's at zero to like the Yoshi story music. It is like, it makes me cry laughing every time because it's Glenn. Like,
that's great.
It's so funny.
There are so many gems like Glenn and other players from Smash 4 that people just aren't going to really know in Ultimate, which sucks.
I love Glenn, man. My best friend from high school, who you guys have met, actually, or some of you at least, Tony, he's really close with Glenn's brother and had no idea that I knew Glenn. So when like the worlds collided, it was very interesting. Like, that's truly crazy. Some small world shit, yeah.
Shouts to James's combo video in Smash 4.
Hell yeah. What's that called again?
all the DMG combo videos were just insanity. Like,
that's the best one, though.
There's a couple I really like. I don't want to pick a favorite. I just can't. And it's just...
James's is the best.
It's super great.
It's amazing. Really good. Yep. And can I talk about Wavelength real quick? Since we're talking about Blade in New England and vibes and...
Why did Tyler go for that boost kick?
Okay, why did Tyler switch seats with Paris? What was up with that? We have many questions from this tournament. What the fuck? Paris is a clown. Why did he switch seats with him? I think you said in your stream it's musical chairs. I also said that out loud in my office. I was like, is this musical fucking chairs? And then you said
it
in your stream.
I was dying laughing. I know the exact tone Paris asked Tyler to switch seats.
Do the impression. Let's hear it.
No.
What? You three are the biggest clowns I've ever met. Like, putting the three of you in a room, especially when I'm in the mix too, I think the IQ goes down somehow. That was fun at Luminosity, man.
Yeah, we had a good time. I don't know why he did that. I was like, maybe it was for the headphones. Wasn't wearing headphones either way, both seats. I was genuinely trying to figure out why he switched seats with him. Could not figure it out.
We'll have to find out on Lights Out, I guess.
My favorite set of the tournament was Beast Mode Paul versus Mars.
Yeah. Reverse 3-0. You can see Ty figuring the match out. Yeah. You can see, dude, that forward smash connecting too. When do you ever see ZSS forward smash? For the win?
Is it the worst like a thing smash? That she's good against him? Like, for some reason, that stirred a memory that I've heard ZSS.
I mean, I'm
really
sure she can stop
the
menu in situations most characters can't.
Yeah,
I didn't know for sure. I just, going into it, I was telling my stream that I thought Mars's general style could do well versus Hero. That's all I really said. Like, in my head, I thought he was well suited to fight the character. That's all.
Yeah, we said the same. I was talking to them in a circle before they played, and Tyler was talking. Mars was talking to Light about it, and he asked about the matchup and how to play against Hero and all that stuff. He's like, just don't. Paris's or Light's advice was do not give him room to breathe and just use his menu freely because you're going to like freak out basically and try to stop it. And I think ZSS plays so well, plays so comfortably in that zone anyway. Like that kind of mid-range poke at you, don't let you do shit for free, kind of smother characters. I think she just does that so well anyway, like against other characters that aren't Hero. So on paper, I think it makes a lot of sense that she would, shout out to Chuck on paper, by the way. I think she would just do well against him. You saw Ty like learn, Mars learning the matchups. As he was going, which was really satisfying. And I'm such a Beast Mode Paul fan. I want him to do well. I mean, obviously, Mars is my boy, and it is what it is. I really wish Beast Mode Paul made a run in losers, but that was definitely a tough loss. And some narrative I'm going to start running with is Mars, you know, from Supernova to now, has been kind of the gatekeeper for this new class of Ultimate kids. He crushed Mia. He did really well against, you know, a lot of players in this bracket, including Syrup. He does well against Steve's, right? He does really well against Steve's. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice that he's kind of, which is so cool because we've talked about how Zero Suit is like, wait, low key, she does kind of well against a lot of this DLC that everybody else hates, like does pretty okay against Kazuya, which I think he disagrees with. He hates Kazuya very much. He's kind of bad at that matchup, in my opinion. I think he would agree.
Kazuya. I just have to say, man. Sorry, keep going.
I know. I get it.
Max hates Kazuya,
which is hilarious. Shouts to Dre.
Shouts to Dre, man.
That's his fault.
100%.
But Mars, you know, and someone else, so he lost to Zomba the last two times he played him in winners at this tournament and at Super Smash Con 2 years ago. And so I was like, damn, that's kind of crazy because, like, you know, Rob against Zero Suit has traditionally been very, very bad against for Rob. So shout out to Zomba for doing well in that matchup. But then Mars got the run back in losers. He beat Syrup, like I said. He beat Beast Mode Paul. Like, he just, I don't know, man. He's becoming that guy again. He really is. Like, he's got so many good wins this weekend, and I'm just proud of him for competing again and showing up and doing well. Like, I know, and especially, dude, he got crushed at Luminosity on Saturday. Then he showed up the next day and got a win on Shattuck. Yet another one, man. And I think you talk about a weird play style, man. He's kind of up there. It's not as weird as Lade. It's not
weird. I think he actually, he was one of the two people I was comparing myself to, actually.
Dude, his thing is that he's so good at playing the player. Like, that's my favorite thing about him. And his character just can absolutely shit on you if you're good against, if you know what they're going to do. Like, there's going to be a paralyzer coming. There's a flip kick coming in your recovery. There's going to be a Zare. You're dead. Like, you're just going to die against Zero Suit if she knows what you're going to do, which is so hard to do, though, as we saw with that final boost kick that sealed the tournament. But
you can see how much effort he has to put into his gameplay.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
I know bro is tired. Mm-hmm. Like, exhaust. Like, you can just see it. Like, there's so many little decisions that he has to make constantly the whole time. Like, it's to keep it blunt, it's way harder than what everyone else in top 8 had to do. It just is what it is. But yeah, it has been great to see. Not only has he been doing well, he's been doing consistently well, which is interesting. It's kind of cool to see Zero Suit be the anti-meta pick that she is right now.
Yes.
I think that's a very interesting spot for her. And I think it's cool. It makes a lot of sense now that, like, the game's playing out that she's, like, that kind of character.
I just watched a video by this dude. His name is Fudge. He's from the UK. I knew him back in Smash 4. And he did a video about Steve, Sonic, and Game & Watch being kind of the meta characters, and that ZSS is a great pick into all three of them, or at least into Steve and Game & Watch. Mars's SmashCon or Supernova run. And it makes sense. Like, I remember when Steve first came out, people were saying, oh, ZSS might be his worst matchup. She can, like, Zare and go through the blocks, or, like, you know, break down the blocks from a very safe distance. Whereas even a sword character, if they're in hit lag swinging at the blocks, you can get forward smashed and it outranges it while you're in hit lag. So I think there's obviously so many more intricacies to the matchup than that. But just at a base level and based on Mars's results, those characters do have a hard time with CSS, or at least it's not a walk in the park for them.
Especially Game & Watch.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Mars does not lose the Game & Watch. Apparently that's a thing. I didn't even know until, like, his Mia win that he's giga beast mode in that matchup. And then I saw him on Goat Talk. Meister was like, yeah, I knew you were going to beat him because you've beaten me so many times. And, like, I struggle so much against you. But yeah, like, ZSS is not good into the conventional top tiers. Like, even a character like Diddy, who's not the absolute peak of the game, but is strong.
He's closer to anti-meta than meta, but it's somewhere in between.
Right. Pyra and Mithra, I feel like, probably have a really easy time against Zero Suit because you just get outframe data, you get outranged, et cetera, et cetera. But
you can't jump or anything.
Mm-hmm. But the top three in the game, suddenly, like, this is a very relevant character that you have to worry about. And I don't know if anyone else really answers all three at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, it's not just the character. I agree, the character fits well into that mold. Absolutely. I also saw the video for Fudge. It's very good. But I think it's him. I think that's just the way he is, man. Like, he just, you ever play friendlies with him? We've said it so many times on this podcast. He's a fucking asshole, man. Like, he just destroys you. I said this about Zomba too, actually. It's what I like about Zomba's play too, is that he's an asshole. And I mean that endearingly. Like, I'm not like, wow, Zomba's an asshole, like, in a bad way. I'm like, I love that stuff, man. That's like, I love it. Like, just playing in a way where it's like, I'm so far ahead of you or so in your head, like, you're just getting destroyed and hard red, and then you get nervous and it makes it worse. And they've seen people get nervous when they play against them, and it just makes it worse and compounds upon itself. And it's just, it's fun.
If I'm rotating characters against Mars, it gets to, I don't want to do it anymore sometimes. Like, cause he'll get under your skin in like one interaction. Like, I'm not trying to do that. Like, I don't care if it's Zero Suit, Snake, Mega Man, like, Greninja. Like, he is so annoying. Like, in a way where, like, he keeps trying to embarrass you over and over and over.
There's an easy solution to this.
I have a bit of trauma because he used to do that to me in tournament in Smash 4 a lot. Because I was definitely super nervous all the time. We were both, like, he's definitely like a brother to me because we are basically the same age and we started at the same time. But he used to destroy me in Smash 4, and it felt like an older brother bullying the younger brother, kind of sometimes, like read my air dodge and clip me or like do something stupid, and like it was embarrassing for sure. But he does it to me in friendlies in Smash 4 too, especially if we're kind of like using different characters. He just does that. He's very good.
I got to play him in Rivals a lot over the weekend too, and he
likes that game.
Very impressive, especially for a player who doesn't have like a Melee or PM background. For me to be like getting my ass whipped by him, I was like, damn, like, you know.
He played PM.
Oh, he did?
He played Ivysaur.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Like, okay, every other
player. That makes sense,
yeah.
But like, yeah, every other Brawl player, everyone played Ivysaur, bro. Yeah. So easy in PM.
That's so I was funny. Gonna say, Gavin, I have an idea. Like, what you could do is you could clip Mars a ton and then make a video about him, or you bully him back, right? That works. You know how people bring that up in front of him when I'm around him? It's awesome.
So funny.
Dude, it's the best. Dude, it is the best.
That's like my win on Gavin is your video on Mars.
Yes, absolutely. Very, very similar vibes for sure. Very similar.
That's some older brother bullying shit.
It is. I think like the last thing I want to say about Wavelength is shout out to Paris, by the way. Very proud of him as well. Like, very happy he came in determined to win this tournament, and he did, which is great. He had to beat Zomba, who has been obviously a thorn in his side, to say the least. They have one of my favorite rivalries, period. Like, they just fuck each other up. It's really entertaining Smash. And I just like them both. And then the other one was, I'm proud of him also for just winning the tournament, sticking out. And him and Ty, I feel like Paris has been getting the better end of that rivalry recently for a little bit now. But you just never know when Mars is going to turn up, especially the way he was playing that day. So I'm just proud of Paris for showing up and winning. He said he would, and I'm love it when he
Dude,
does.
It is so beautiful that they played in grand finals of like this new tournament in the region. Like, I know you are emotional, because I was emotional too, for sure.
Of course.
The good old days, bro. I was literally saying it building up in the top eight or whatever. I was like, what if?
That was that was like the dream storyline, man. And it obviously came through, and it was, I don't know. I've been watching these guys since they were teenagers play the game, and not even just against each other, but watching them do their own come up stories and how their stories are so woven together, and it's amazing. It's one of my favorite things in Smash, period. Like, it's beautiful, and it was incredible to see, especially because, you know, Mars was number one for the longest time. Now White's ahead of him, but Mars is doing his own. And it's like, it's a beautiful story, and I just love how, you know, their fates in a way are so intertwined. It's kind of crazy to me. It's amazing. But yeah, I did get a little emotional over that. It's really cool. It's really cool to still see them.
Congrats,
doing it.
Paris.
Yes, yeah, and then.
Love Last both of you, but I also hate Paris.
it'd be like that. Paris is the GOAT, though. And I want to say for the event, I just want to thank the staff for doing everything and everyone who ran it. It felt, I think y'all appreciate this. It was very nostalgic in a way, where it was a crazy.
I loved everything you said center. On the mic.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. I'm a Smash Award winner, et cetera. The vibes of the tournament were immaculate in a way where it wasn't like, I don't mean like, wow, that was like the most fun tournament ever, or that was, wow, what a great venue that was, or what a great hotel we're at. It's like, fuck, we're here to play Smash. Like, this is what we're here for. This is like some tight, like ceiling was low. Like, it was crammed. There were production problems where like the power went out on half of the fucking TVs while people were playing. Like, not good. Like, these are not good things. But you rolled the punches, and the TOs figured it out. They got new space so that was available in the convention center and hosting pools down there. We carried TVs down there, like all this shit. Very old vibes that I feel like have been missing for a while, which I'm not saying we need to go back to them. Like, that's not my point. My point is that, like, I just felt like we were at a Brawl tournament in the Ultimate Era, which I think is so important for these kids to experience. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. There's something about the scene where something done changed at some point when we kind of went that esports route. And I feel like lost an important piece of ourselves with that, where people were just showing up before, not to, because they want to be a big name TO or be a big name commentator or content creator or some bullshit. They just love the fucking game. And I miss that kind of vibe so much. Like, when you showed up to tournaments before, you fucking played, or you're driving someone there and you wanted to help them. Like, that was kind of it. There wasn't like a make it and smash. Like, that wasn't you just kind of go. I know I'm fucking old man on my soapbox right now, but like, dude, that's what I'm saying.
We are all with you 100%.
Wavelength captured that vibe. It wasn't intentional, but I still feel like that is so important, because it is a grassroots tournament. It's trying to fill a void of Shine, which was held at the World Trade Center in fucking Boston, which is ridiculous. Like, what a lavish thing to do. nah, we're back, man. Like, and people don't remember, you know, Marcus, how many great tournaments are in the middle of nowhere, Massachusetts from PM, from the PM days? You and Coney coming through, man. Middle of Massachusetts, like, not just Boston, not just Worcester, like, there is some great Smash culture there, and I fucking love that we were able to capture that in the end of 2024, at the end of Ultimate. Like, it just meant a lot to me personally. I just want to thank the staff for putting it together, rolling with the punches. I know it wasn't easy, and I know they're getting dogged on Twitter quite a bit, but I just want to say, you guys fucking rule, and that's what I got to say about it.
Yeah, bro, them tournaments used to be... bro, because you gotta think about it. Like, now there's, like, sponsors and, like, people that are willing to give you money so you could get a better venue. Back then, people were just, they were just paying out of pocket. So them venues were trash. You were in the middle of nowhere, and it's not like their fault. They're being selfless, you know, they're putting their money on the line so that people can have a good experience. But bro, you show up in a shop in the middle of nowhere, you looking around like, am I gonna be safe? Like, or you're just literally like in like a barnyard somewhere. Like tournaments used to be brutal. You're in someone's garage, bro. We had a tournament.
So many garage tournaments.
We had a tournament that was a Five Guys. It was in the back of a Five Guys in like this like corner area. And it turns out that we didn't even get permission to be in that Five Guys and host the tournament. Like,
just brought TVs?
Yeah, we just hopped in there and we're holding the tournament. And then at some point they were like, bro, what are you doing? Like, tournaments used to be scuffed, so I don't know. It's a different experience, man.
It is, and I think it's so important. I think, like, you know, people talk a lot about like commentary and where it's at today, and you know what the deal is. And it's like, you got to remember the people who, like, the most iconic thing ever in Smash commentary is the Wombo combo, right? Like, straight up, like, that has transcended Smash. It is like just the thing that people say, they don't even know it's from Smash. But Waff at that time, he was just showing up as a player, as a cool guy that loved Smash. Got on the mic and just said some shit that was so full of soul because he really wanted to be there and he really played, so he knew what the fuck to say without thinking about it. So it was a natural hype thing that just came out of his mouth, and it just transitioned so well into this huge commentary moment, which ironically became very like commercialized and like used in League Esports and like all this other shit. So it's like, that soul of Smash, man, like, I love it so much. Like, I would love to have more of these regionals like this. I think they're so important. I would rather see a regional grow slowly over time, like Collision has. I think Collision's a great example of that. Collision still has that regional vibe to it, for sure. But it took time to get there, and I think more tournaments should be on the come up like that instead of just trying to plop themselves into the scene. In my opinion, I know patience is hard to do, and if you've got the money and you can do it, great. But if not, you know, people will show up. You throw a banger tournament, it's all good.
Yeah,
I think. Go ahead, Max.
Well, like, as a TO and also an old head, you know, I think what we've tried to do with Let's Make Moves is just make it feel like that, no matter what venue.
Best tournament.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, thank you. Yeah, like, that's why you can say fuck on the mic at my turn. Like, I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all there for fun. And, like, even though it's grown into something bigger than like what it was originally supposed to be, like in a church gymnasium and just like a regional at the start of things, like, I think everyone does kind of feel that homey vibe at LMBM especially, but like even in Miami. So yeah, I mean, that's something that I like personally prioritize when it comes to the events. It's like, we want to make it feel like home, like the old days, but also like with better presentation. And just kind of showing up for love of the game more than anything at the end of the day. And also, you know, running a tight ship. But yeah, like, preserving that soul is so important. And I think that's why, like, at least for me, when I leave the venue, like, or when I walk away from Top 8 Sunday, it doesn't hurt that you're winning them, Gavin. But I always just feel like so full of joy and inspiration and shit.
I was going to say, like, leading up into the Luminosity Invitational, It's kind of, I don't want to admit it because I don't want to like lazy or that I don't care. I didn't stream at all. I didn't practice at all. When I was at the Luminosity Invitational, I played zero matches unless it was bracket. And by the time I lost, I was like, I should play. And I started practicing and stuff when I was out of the bracket. But after Wavelength Grand Finals, I want to ask, like, what y'all think. I'm not sure how long I played. But I played, I think, like, 55 matches after Grands on Wi-Fi. Just all Diddy Kong. And, you know, just, I think a lot of it stems from, like, that feeling that that kind of tournament gives me. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely familiar. But I definitely played for a few hours. So, It definitely brought something out of me.
I love tournaments like that. Yeah, that just really, the first thing you do is boot up a Switch, right? Like Grants finishes, you got the interview on your one monitor and you slide over and you're like, all right, someone host up. Someone host up. Let's go. I love it.
Don't care who.
No, exactly. I love it. Wow. Yeah. Great episode, eh?
Yeah, great episode. Thank you so much for watching. Thanks for Max showing up on short notice.
Hey, of course, man. Thanks for having me.
Fit right in. Yeah, thank you so much for supporting the show. Smash is the best. Have a good one. Thank you.